Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
All right, welcome back. It's hour number two today. We're in Pine Richland. It's the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association opening day. 1,300 kids strong here. Pirate Parrott is here, and Pirate Parrott just made a pitch to one of O'Neill Cruz's sons, even though he didn't know it was O'Neill Cruz's son. So there you go. That's a little bit of the karma. Maybe it's going to be an O'Neill Cruz day today at 412-928-9370. Got a lot of tweets in here. One of them is from Jason in Slippery Rock. He says, hey, KD Pump, your callers today suggest Western PA actually likes the NBA. We do. Well, I'm glad. If you want to talk about it, continue to call. I'd love to talk about some of these matchups because I think it's very interesting, some of the talent levels. You're seeing a lot of guys who play in college and other places come there and play, and it's an up-tempo kind of game. A lot of people think it's not defense. It is. There's a lot of good defense being played. It's just they rush shots. I mean, it's all about offense and, you know, quick reaction, transition game, that sort of thing. So, as I said earlier, I love this time of the year when you have hockey playoffs and NBA playoffs as well. Diane Carney on Twitter at KD Pomp says, for next year, will Coach Sullivan coach the Pens to play differently? Can he? Will any of these assistant coaches be fired? I've watched the New York Rangers and Islanders last week. They laid down, cheering the Caps all the way. Well, listen, as far as Sullivan is concerned, when you have offensive talent, you know what the strength is. I get some of that. But what has to change is when they play with a lead in the third period, you cannot play the same way. To me, that's one of the things that you can do is say, no, we're going to play a defensive brand of hockey here to protect the lead. And if you don't, what happens to you is you give up odd man breaks. And boy, did we see so many of those. I mean, I saw things this year I thought I'd never see. That is operating on a 5-on-3, 2-man advantage, and the other team scores a shorthanded goal. I mean, that's just ridiculous. And then scoring into your own net, little things that really shouldn't happen. But more than anything, it's pinching and you know, assessing situations differently. It's on the players, too. You have to know that you cannot play the same way late in games when you have a lead. Simple to me. And instruct them to do that. And if they don't, you know, then at some point you got to take matters into your own hands and limit playing time. I don't care how talented they are. At some point you have to do something to make the point across. And when they have those situations arise, they got to put games away. They let too many escape, and in a battle the way they battled all season, you know, 1 or 2 points will decide whether or not you're in or not. All right, back to the phone lines we go. We have Hammer in Port View. Hammer time right now on 93.7 The Fan.
Yeah, hey, Bob, how you doing? I don't know if you remember me. This was years back, but you and I met at Luke Ravenstahl's election celebration at a bar a few years ago. It was a great time meeting you there. But getting on to sports here, I wanted to ask a question. I understand the no trade clause in hockey, but is there any rules against demoting them to the minor league affiliate?
Well, for bad players? I think you can do that, but you still pay them the same. And what's the point of going down there? I mean, I'm talking about elite players. They don't need that.
I'm just like some kind of disciplinary action for bad, like the one guy was saying about them like tanking because they were upset about trading Gensel.
Well, I mean, you could do whatever you have to do. It has nothing to do with a no-trade clause, though. You know, if you can limit playing time. I think that's the most effective way if you're a head coach. And if you're not going to do what we want you to do, then your playing time will be taken away. That's about the only thing they can do as head coaches with some of these guys, you know.
Gotcha. Like I said, that was just my other suggestion. But I thank you for taking my call.
Thank you, Hammer. Appreciate it. Nice seeing you again. Let's go out to Bill in the South Side, or South Fayette area, actually. Bill, what's going on? How are you today?
Good, Bob. How you doing?
Oh, it's a sunny day. The wind has subsided up here, which is good.
It is. It is. Out running some errands. Typical spring-summer day. So I agree with a lot of what you're saying about the late leads getting blown and so forth, but I think the number one reason they didn't make the playoffs and really should have made the playoffs by a significant margin is the power play. They had the second worst power play in the league.
Totally agree.
And they gave up.
Yep.
They gave up 12 shorthanded goals. Power plays are supposed to be momentum and difference makers, and you know, I actually cringed when they would get power plays because they would lose momentum more often than they would get momentum. And secondly, defensive guys like Graves and Carlson and before him, those guys, Marino and Mata, all regressed. They didn't get any better. And the guy that owns both of those things is Todd Reirden. And, you know, I agree on keeping Sullivan, but I just think Todd Reirden's got to go.
Well, I think they are going to make changes to their staff. They have to, I think, based on what's gone on. But you're right about the power play. It would be the number one reason why, you look back at the autopsy report that comes in from the coroner, why they didn't make it. It's because of that more than anything. If you operate, I don't know what their final percentage was, but the last I looked, it was at 14.3. I mean, if you make that even 21, which, you know, is average, you'd win a lot more games. With all that talent. And the other thing is just how they manufacture losses in overtime. It seems like they don't have enough of a strategy about overtime. And I know it's like hockey on steroids, pinball, all this stuff when you're 3-on-3. It just depends on possession more than anything else. But you have to know, you know, when to do what you got to do and when not to on certain times out there. And it's not bad to retreat and wait. But, yeah, the power play with all the talent had to only get what it got. And to your point, too, Bill, a lot of the times the power play would go, you know, minute and a half, and they wouldn't even have an opportunity to set up or get a shot. It's one thing if you put a lot of pressure on and some goaltender stands on his head. It's another thing if you just, you know, just let it get away because you haven't been able to sustain any sort of effort to get into the zone.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, and as far as Sullivan goes, yeah, I think you have to keep him. I don't like the idea of changing coaches in the off season. I think a coaching change, especially in the NHL, the head coach is a mid-season spark type of thing, right? So if they don't see improvement by Christmas, maybe, then you look at Sullivan, but I don't think now is the time to make a move like that. I think you have to do whatever you can with the roster. I mean, guys like Raquel and Smith and Graves, I mean, these guys that are making $4, $5, $6 million are just, they're not doing their jobs. And unfortunately, you can't get rid of them because of the no-trade clauses and the deals that they signed. But, you know, if there isn't a spark, if you don't see something change by Christmas of next year, then you look at Sullivan. But I don't think you do it now.
To your point, Bill, another thing they need to do is rely more on their guys in their system. You know, we've seen some guys come up, and finally this year, Drew O'Connor got a lot more quality ice time, and I thought he deserved it last year, actually. You know, Mike Sullivan, back when they won those two championships in 16 and 17, he utilized a lot of those guys that he had coached, and maybe that's the thing. He had coached them. He knew them. He trusted them. When the guys come up here, you got to do more than just a couple of shifts here and there, you know. Especially early in the season. This is where I would utilize a lot of those kind of players. I want to see what I got from them. And hopefully next year you're going to see more of them in the lineup. If it's possible given the fact that they have so many high-end salaries, I don't know. They're going to save on, you know, Carter. He's going to be gone. The cap is supposed to go up by $4.8 million. So that's like $7 million you have a little bit to play with. If they could figure out a way, and this is another thing, I don't know how you feel about this, but Tristan Jarry now is in a situation where, you know, it seems like they're going to bring him back based on what Dubas said. And it looks like Nedeljkovic may be the odd man out because he was on a one-year deal and he can go wherever he wants. But if they could free up some money there, that might help them out as well.
Yeah, Jari is an enigma. He's frustrating. He's too inconsistent. He throws up a shutout and then gives up three bad goals. But the young guys, that's very frustrating with Sullivan. I mean, down the stretch, Pustinen, O'Connor, they played really well. But in the past, and Puljujärvi, I thought was a big body that he was fast and he could shoot, and he didn't play him. He sat him for down the stretch most of the games. But in the past, you had guys like Lafferty and McCann. And these guys are doing well.
Right.
They're fast. They hit, and he just didn't play them, you know. And it's just frustrating. I don't get it, because, like you said, that's what made him successful with Rust, and even guys like Kunackle, who weren't top end prospects, but they were fast and they forechecked and they went north south, right?
Yeah, no, Rust was one of them. Also Wilson at the time. The next year, Gensel. These are third round picks.
Yeah.
You know, play them, and especially with. If you're going to have Sidney Crosby and Malkin around, they can learn a lot, I think, with some of those guys. You can't just constantly go to the same old Raquel. I thought was a bad signing. And as much as I, you know, he's a nice guy and everything, I wouldn't have given him that kind of money at all. Riley Smith, I expected more from. A lot of the guys they brought in this offseason, I expected more from, and it just did not happen. So roster composition has something to do with this as well. But they want to get these veterans to play bottom six, you know, and sometimes the best answers are in your system. Let them play, trust them a little bit, give them playing time, and make a decision based on that. Bill, thanks for the call. I got to move on. I appreciate that from the South Fayette area. Now let's go out to Forest Hills. Rich has been waiting. What's up, Rich? How are you?
Hey, Bob. You and I are very like-minded about the Penguins. I'm starting to part companies a little bit with the Pirates. But, you know, going back a year ago, Dubas really didn't have much of a choice. I mean, much like the Steelers, they had to play a certain kind of game based on, I mean, if they wanted to, quote, win it all, they had to play a certain kind of game based on the personnel they had. That just didn't have the opportunity to change the roster to the degree. I mean, you can't turn back the clock. If you remember, way back, the Minnesota North Stars met the Penguins in the playoffs. They had a sub-500 record, and, you know, they got there because their power play was clicking at like a 37% rate. I think Dubas recognized last year, you know, he's not going to come in here, he's not going to have a shutdown team, he's not going to have a team that's going to be able to run and gun, but he potentially could have had a team with a power play that was clicking at 25-30%. That wins you a heck of a lot of games. And I think
no doubt,
short-sighted,
especially when they're five-on-five play. Rich, your five-on-five play was some of the best in the game. That was not a problem for them. You would have thought that would have been, but it wasn't.
The strategy for them was to play it tight five-on-five, recognize that they have these quote-unquote five future Hall of Famers, and they're going to win. Short-sighted, not bringing in, you know, the number one power play coach in the world. And that's pretty much the only option he has this year with all the no-trade clauses. I mean, they've got to ramp up the power play. They're only a Stanley Cup contender as long as Sidney Crosby's here. Now, I'm not saying that's for the next 20 years, but I'm talking about for the next 3 or 4 years. And there are certain – just because you've got a Hall of Fame credential doesn't mean you should be playing in overtime or you should be playing on the power play. And – you know, I don't know if you remember my previous calls, but you know who I'm talking about here. I think Malkin's done a lot for this franchise, and he's certainly a great player, but he's not that player now. I'm not even sure I'd have him on my power play. I think there'd be other people. But the other point, I completely disagree with you on Paul Skeens. This guy, you know, a year ago, pitched once a week. He pitched six innings. He pitched on a Saturday. This is an absolute precious commodity. I think the Penguins, or the Pirates, excuse me, are definitely on the upswing. I think they've got a future. I'm not sure that this is the year. I wouldn't be going all in on this year. I think they've got bigger problems than getting Paul Skeens up here. I'm not at all sold on O'Neill Cruz. I've mentioned that before. I mention it again because when he flames out, I want to be able to say, I said this previously, and you can go listen to the tape. You know, they could bring a second baseman and a shortstop up and a catcher from the minor leagues right now, which I think would make more important moves to this team. I'd give these guys three or four more games or maybe another week, and if they can't settle in and start to hit their way out of it. Jared Trujillo is another one. you know, O'Neill Cruz, that, you know, they're not getting any production at first base right now. The guys that were hot
this season have sort of cooled off. My thing about Skeens is I understand their plan, and thank you for the call, Rich. What I think is that, you know, he's going to throw 70 pitches next time out, the next time he's out, whether it's here, whether it's there. And the Pirate Parrot's sitting, you're going to break that chair, you know that. But you can sit. You can go ahead. I'm not insulting your weight. That's just that your bottom is bigger than that seat right there. Cannot fit in. Now you're going to see what he does. Good to see you, Parrot. I'm just saying Skeens is one of those guys that he's going to pitch. Whatever the pitches are, that's going to be down there or up here. They're still going to go over 100 miles an hour. So you can monitor his pitch count up here. Anyway, Bill and Kiske. Bill, I'm sorry to keep you waiting, but you're up next. Go right ahead.
Hi, Bob. I would not get rid of Sullivan. I would trade him. This year, you know what's going to happen in the playoffs. New York's maybe going to lose. Boston maybe going to lose in the first round. One of these teams going to lose in the first round. Trade him. What do you think about
that?
Well,
it's you know, you don't see all that much in hockey that happening. I've seen it before in baseball. No, I'm going to stick with him.
Some of these teams are going to want to win, and he's got a record that you get him in the right team, he can win. He's got the wrong team here. He cannot win with this team. He's stubborn, and he will not change his
ways. Well, I mean, his style is his style. And again, I'll defend that to the point where their 5-on-5 play, Bill, was very good this year. To me, that's an indication that the style they were playing was working 5-on-5. The problems became when they were on special teams. Not so much killing it off, but scoring goals. And this is in a tight window that they had to try to get into the playoffs, and the goal was just to get there. They finished 1 or 2 points behind, that's it. And why? Because their power play was anemic, given all the talent. That's a short view of what went wrong this year. But I blame that more on players than I do anyone else. Well, what I would have done, and thanks for the call, Bill, I would have put Jeff Carter. If Jeff Carter's on my roster, he's 6'4". He's a big load.
You've been saying that all along. He should have done that.
I've been saying it all year.
In December.
Yeah, I mean, I'd mix it up. That's a veteran guy. He's going to pay him over $3 million. If he has a role, it would be that. Put him in front. Let him get in, you know, nasty in front if he has to. He's a big body. He's good with his hands still. So take advantage of that. They never did it. It was the same old kind of same old. They made some changes here and there, but none of it worked.
Yeah, he's really
well.
Stubborn.
I mean, when you have thanks, Bill. Appreciate the call. We're due for a break here. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. NHL playoffs do begin today. No Penguins for the second year in a row. That's got to hurt them financially as well because they need those games as part of, you know, making ends meet in the NHL. It's not one of these sports like the NFL where they got money flowing in from all aspects. They don't. So gates, games are important. 412-928-9370, that is the number to call. Thank you once again to our sponsors, PNC Bank, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, and driving in style with number one Cochrane. Go one better, shop 24/7 at expressway with Cochrane.com. Back with more right here from the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association. Opening day, 1,300 strong here. Kids ages 3 through 18 enjoying baseball and softball and trying to get their little careers going as well. We'll be back with more right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. It's a beautiful sunny day. It is windy a little bit as we're here at the PRBS, that's Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association opening day. There are kids everywhere from ages 3 to 18, and this is the first day of spring in many ways for many of them. So get out, enjoy the day. That's what they're doing here today, and a great amount of people have showed up here today. And we had some shirts to give away, but they went really quickly, and it's too bad we didn't have more. Tom, go back. We need you to go back and get some. But people love to get out and play baseball and softball and learn the fundamentals of the game. We have some great coaches out here as well. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Islanders-Carolina today. The first two NHL series begin today. At 5, it's Islanders-Carolina. At 8, it's Toronto and Boston, which is always a good matchup in the first round for sure. Toronto's a team that has a lot of pressure on them. It's Kyle Dubas's old team. They haven't been able to go far in the playoffs. One of the reasons why he has a job here in Pittsburgh. But Auston Matthews just missed scoring 70 goals this year. He had, in that last game of the year, He had 11 shots on goal. He hit the crossbar once and the goalpost once. He would have had, should have had 70. Did not happen. Last guy to do that was Mario Lemieux. And he ended up with 69, but that's a high-powered team. Their goaltending is suspect a little bit. I like the Bruins in this series, although Boston is an older team also. You know, they're like Tampa in many ways. They got a lot of talent. They play well together, but, man, last year they had a great regular season only to get eliminated quickly. What will happen this year around? We'll find out. And the other one is the Islanders in Carolina. Jake Guentzel has been on fire. I think people in Pittsburgh like Michael Bunting because he gives them a different dimension, and that was a nice pickup. Plus a couple of 20-year-old kids who will wait and see on that one. But Dubas had to move on from Guentzel because Guentzel wanted more than they were willing to pay. And it's a simple part of the business. And he goes to Carolina, and he's been terrific with them. Fit right in. I think the last I checked, he had like 26 points in 14 games. That's a loaded team. And if they're ever going to make a run, this would be the opportunity to do it with the top-end talent they have. But, again, it'll come down to goaltending. It always does. Florida-Tampa is an interesting series, the Battle of Florida. The Panthers have one of those teams that is always in the offensive zone. They got some great playmakers there. Tampa is a team predicated on power play. Kucherov went over 100 assists this year. They had two of them this year, he and McDavid both in the same year, which is a rare thing. Only five players have ever done it, Gretzky, Lemieux, Orr, and now these two. But Tampa's a team that is, you know, Vasilevsky has been not as good as you'd want him to be throughout the course of this regular season, although watching him in the postseason, you know he can raise that level of game. Bobrovsky and the Panthers, I think I give the edge to them. I would expect them to move on. I think the Rangers will wipe out the Capitals. Nothing I see from the Capitals makes me think they are in this for the long term. They had a minus 37 goal differential this year. Just not – they got in – somehow, some way, Ovechkinov 30 goals, but their team is not one that I really like. And quite frankly, that's the crime of it from the Penguins' point of view. They're better than the Capitals, and they would give New York Rangers a much better series than the Capitals will. So I'm looking for this one to end quickly. The Rangers in five. And then also tomorrow we got Colorado-Winnipeg, which is an interesting series because Winnipeg knows how to play against Colorado. They have had really good success against them in the regular season. Can they duplicate that in this season? Nathan MacKinnon most likely will be an MVP in this league, although there are a lot of candidates this year for that. And certainly Crosby should be considered based on what he did at his age for that team. Nashville and Vancouver and Dallas and Vegas is another good matchup there. Dallas is a team I would expect to contend for a Stanley Cup this year. They got all the components necessary to do that. Will they? We'll find out. It's not necessarily a guarantee here, but it should be a fascinating postseason. Gets underway today. Let's go out to Ryan in New Jersey, who joins us at 412-928-9370. Ryan, you're on the air. What's going on, brother?
Hey, Bob. The Penguins learned, the problem with having no margin for error is you have no margin for error. So that basically is the tail of the tape. At the end of the day, the Caps beat Boston. They did not. So that's really what it comes down to. But this is really a lipstick on a pig kind of season. I don't like a lot of what I heard and saw over the last couple of days. I mean, they were worse than last year. This is one of the most underachieving teams, probably all the way back to the Mew-Crosby year. What was that, 05, 06, the lockout, coming out of the lockout? I mean, what did they end up with, 88 points? That's pathetic in the loser point era. And one thing about Dubas, he really – the term country club kept popping into my head. You remember how he used to talk about they're the country club team? He took the bullets for everybody. It wasn't on the players. Wasn't on the coaches. It was all Dubas because he's the one least likely to be fired. That, to me, screams he fits right in because this team, they had no sense of urgency from the opening drop, and it killed them. And you cannot – make excuses for that on a veteran team. This isn't like, oh, we finished on a high note, we'll be better next year. This is not like the team that lost to Ottawa in 07. You know, these are all guys who damn well know better. So, I mean, everything that came out of, and Tristan Jarry, he had maybe the dumbest comments I've ever heard from a professional athlete after a season. Say, I got to be a lot better. And what did he say? I thought I had a pretty good year. I mean, moving forward, they have a couple of big blocks. Graves is one. Jarry is another, maybe Raquel and or Smith. Like, you need to have the first line is fine. You need to have Malkin with wingers that can put the puck into the net. That's what they didn't get until the end of the year, and their play turned an arrow up when that happened. So, I mean, that's absolutely a must. They have to do that. But, you know, I just don't – they have a lot of blocks. If they're going to think Graves, they need Letang and Carlson to both have a stay-at-home guy and have a set partner. That's really how to fix them
right.
And let them freelance.
Right.
They
miss guys like Ryan Dumoulin in that regard, you know?
Right. If they think Graves is just going to be better in the second year, then their defense is going to be a disaster again. Like, they need to get him out of there. They need to get Jari, send him to Siberia for a roll of hockey tape, whatever it is.
I think that's hard to do that, you know?
You know what? That's ridiculous. But I would consider buying him out.
Let me say this to your first comment. Your first comment is... they, you know, the slimmest of margins, and they knew that because they had it happen to them last year. Same exact situation.
Yeah.
They go down to the end, and they have to beat Chicago, and they find themselves in that situation, which is terrible. They should have learned that every point is precious. They should know that when you have a lead on a team, you can't be playing high-stakes poker here with them. You got to grind it out and just win games and take your points.
Stretch passes when you're up two goals in the third period. I mean, come on.
Right. It's insane. That's your DNA, but that's fine. But it's the right time and the right place. You cannot do it. It's just, you're right. These guys know better. And yet they committed the same kind of stuff. And you could be proud of them all you want if you're a head coach, but I would be disappointed. I would say, look, and you're right about Tristan Jarry. I don't expect to hear stuff like that. I want to hear, I need to do better. They gave me a lot of money. I haven't done what I expect to do, but I will. I'm committed to making that happen next year. Instead of saying I had a pretty good year. I don't like those kind of comments after you're eliminated and your expectations are as high as they are. They need to be more grounded in how they approach this stuff.
Yeah, I'll just say one final comment. I'll let you go. Thanks for the time. The Caps were – I have a couple of friends who are good – Maryland area guys who are good Caps fans. I text them during the year. So the Caps are not a good team. They were in a partial rebuild. Half the team worked from Hershey, the chocolate team. You know, that's because that's what they had to do. They had two gigantic salary cap holes, Backstrom and Oshie, who did nothing. And they were like $16 million on the cap. So they had that to bear. I give them full credit. They were the least sucky. They were the least inconsistent. I mean, they were consistently mediocre the whole year. They made it. But what they did that game last, was it Sunday, against the Bruins, they played the 1996 Lou Lamoriello Devils team. They trapped, got one goal, and then trapped. And any team can do that. They all can keep up with the puck enough to trap. But no, puck-moving defensemen, we want to play a speed game. I mean, this time warp crap needs to stop because they are not in that era. That is going on 10 years ago. So something needs to change.
Thank you, Ryan. And I appreciate your last call because I said the same thing. You know, people looked at that game and said Boston mailed it in. No, they didn't. What happened was exactly what you said. Washington decided that they cannot beat Boston playing the style that maybe the Penguins would think they could beat Boston with. No. They decided once they got a lead, they were going to put quicksand on the ice. And that's exactly what they did. This had nothing to do with Boston getting 16 shots because they were mailing anything in. This had everything to do with the Capitals deciding this is how we're going to win a hockey game when we need to win a hockey game. Excellent point. I agree with it 100%. Tom in Oakmont is next up right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Tom.
Yeah, hey, Bob. I got a prediction for the Steelers draft. The Steelers draft coming up?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, a prediction. They'll take any in the first round, they'll take anything but an offensive lineman because that's exactly what they need, and that's the last thing they'll take.
Well, no, I disagree with that. I think... there are a lot of guys on this list who I like. Jackson, Powers, Johnson. I mean, they got to have to take an offense. They need a lot of help there.
They got to, but don't get greedy. You watch. I'll call you next week. They'll get greedy. You watch.
Well, listen, there are a lot of good wide receivers in this draft. I know they need wide receiver help. They absolutely do.
They need that offensive tackle.
This is an unfinished product at this point.
Center. That's the last thing I predict they'll take. You watch. Thanks,
all right. Bob. Well, we'll see. It's happening this week, so we'll talk about it. Tom, don't be a stranger. Call back if you're right or wrong. 412-928-9370. We're due for a commercial break. We're live right here today at the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association opening day. Lots of kids running around here enjoying the day with their parents, coaches, trying to get the most out of them and set a good fundamental baseline for all of these kids ages 3 through 18. We're here all day. In the meantime, We want to take your calls at 412-928-9370. We'll do more of that when we continue right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back as we round third, head home for this edition of the Bob Pompeiani Show. Coming up next is going to be Andrew Filippone, Danny Parkins, First and Pod. They're going to have a lot of NFL talk, I'm sure, as this is the week of the draft. And the Steelers will pick 20th and 51st. We're here today at the Pine Richland Baseball Softball Association opening day, 1,300 kids, as I said. I got to give a kudos to the parents involved in this because, you know, the parents are so important in the development of any kid, regardless of what sport or activity you're talking about. And they're here. They're dedicated. A lot of them are coaches. A lot of them just help with the grounds crew, whatever it takes to make sure your kid has the best experience growing. So I give a kudos to parents who do a good job. And honestly, that's the biggest problem facing our country. I think parents don't want to be parents, and those who do make a big difference in the lives of their kids. So take that role very seriously. It's very important. Bob Smyzik, longtime columnist with the Post-Gazette, had an interesting take here on Twitter. Talking about the Pirates, a truly small sample size, but here are his biggest disappointments. Number one on his list is David Bednar. Number two is Henry Davis. Number three is Jack Sawinski. He also has an element called dishonorable mention, and it's Cruz and Rowdy Tellez. Biggest surprises, Jones, Falter, Perez, Williams. And that would be Alika Williams. I would agree with Jared Jones. That's a revelation. Hopefully that continues. Bailey Falter took a lot of abuse early on, but he has been one of our more consistent pitchers. And, of course, when you're talking about Perez, who's been a free agent, he's a veteran. He knows how to play. David Bednar has been a disappointment, but I think things will turn for him. You better hope they do for Davis and Sawinski, because those are the guys who everything is, you know, predicated upon. They have to get that kind of success from those guys. Right now, Davis is struggling mightily at the plate. He needs to get better. Cruz, same thing. Swinging at pitches maybe he shouldn't. Taking ones he should try to unleash his swing on, because he can hit the ball a long distance. Jack Sawinski's hit or miss. When he hits it big, and there's home runs to be had. But you got to do better. Their on-base percentage is not good. It has to get better moving forward here, because these are the kinds of things that, you know, put a heavy toll on pitchers. If you don't get a lot of offense, it's very difficult to pitch. If you get three or four runs early, especially in the game, there's some relief involved with some of these guys who can just rely on their pitches and not have to be so perfect or think they have to be perfect. And that is always going to be a problem with teams that don't score a lot of runs, no matter who it may be. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. As I said, this is the beginning of not just NHL playoffs, but also NBA playoffs. A lot of good ones. I'm going to give you a little my take on what I expect today. Cleveland, Orlando. Orlando will give Cleveland everything they can handle in this series. I like Cleveland as a team. They should win. I'm going to go Magic. I think the Magic are going to pull an upset in this one. Phoenix and Minnesota. Now, the Suns have a lot of high-end talent. You know, when you look at their team, beginning with Devin Booker and Durant, they brought in Bradley Beal. They have guys who should be able to do well in this kind of situation. But Minnesota, Anthony Edwards is a different kind of player, and they have Karl Anthony Towns. They have a lot of people there that can make that a very interesting series. But I do think the expertise, the experience of Phoenix will come through for them. They're going to win this series, and that would also be an upset. Philadelphia and the New York Knicks. Philadelphia is playing with Joel Embiid. He has become a guy who can hit from the outside, do everything inside. He's MVP level when he's healthy. The Knicks do not have Julius Randle. He's one of their best players, but they do have Jalen Brunson. I'm going to go Knicks in this. I think the Knicks have a deep enough team. Tom Thibodeau knows what he's doing with that team. I like the Knicks in it. Lakers and Nuggets also play today. That's an 8:30 start time. This is a very intriguing series. Nuggets are heavy favorites. The Lakers, though, just like Phoenix, has some high-end talent on it, and you wonder what that would mean in a best of seven. They're playing well at the end of the season. James and, you know, guys like Anthony Davis. And don't underestimate Austin Reeves and what he's meant for this team. I think that's going to be a longer series, but I do expect Denver to survive in advance. But that's what you got to do in this time of the year. Win four out of seven, and you move on to the next round. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Again, I want to thank the people up here, Nick and the guys I've met from the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association, who made our stay here very nice despite all the wind. Got to give it out for Matt over here. He's brought in his tool time. This is not part of the job description. Tom and Matthew here trying to figure out our tent blew over, and now it's completely in shambles. He went home. Craig Riley, if you're listening, he deserves a bonus for this. He drove home, got a whole bunch of Craftsman tools, and now he's trying to figure out how to get this thing together and tear it down. I will be of no help whatsoever because I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to this kind of stuff. My wife will attest to that. She's the best handyman in our family, and I just refuse to do it. So, man, I can't help you. Good luck. I hope you figure it out. But, Craig Riley, take care of this man. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at sunchevy.com. Today, windy. We will attest to that. High of 56. Our complete set has crashed because of it. Tonight, partly cloudy. Some couple of potential showers, depending on where you are, and there's a potential for frost as well in some areas. Low of 36. Tomorrow, sunny, just like today. Windy, high of 52 degrees. And a thank you once again to our sponsors at PNC Bank. Make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call on KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan. Ireland Contracting, make sure you check them out if you need a new roof. They will take care of you there as well. Number one Cochran, ride in style and go on better with Cochran.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, and Shenderovich and Fishu. Thank you, Fishman. Thank you all for your support of our program. We do appreciate that. And for all who called, thank you for getting through. We do it every Saturday. Coming up next is Andrew Filippone, Danny Parkins with First and Pod. Our thanks to Matthew, Tom on site, as well as Nathan Haluschak, Uri. And now it is Mr. Joel Nelson who will be there the rest of the way. He'll have an update, and then you'll hear that from Pony and Parkins right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Have a great day. Welcome back as we round third, head home for this edition of the Bob Pompeiani Show. Coming up next is going to be Andrew Filippone, Danny Parkins, First and Pod. They're going to have a lot of NFL talk, I'm sure, as this is the week of the draft. And the Steelers will pick 20th and 51st. We're here today at the Pine Richland Baseball Softball Association opening day, 1,300 kids, as I said. I got to give a kudos to the parents involved in this because, you know, the parents are so important in the development of any kid, regardless of what sport or activity you're talking about. And they're here. They're dedicated. A lot of them are coaches. A lot of them just help with the grounds crew, whatever it takes to make sure your kid has the best experience growing. So I give a kudos to parents who do a good job. And honestly, that's the biggest problem facing our country. I think parents don't want to be parents, and those who do make a big difference in the lives of their kids. So take that role very seriously. It's very important. Bob Smyzik, longtime columnist with the Post-Gazette, had an interesting take here on Twitter. Talking about the Pirates, a truly small sample size, but here are his biggest disappointments. Number one on his list is David Bednar. Number two is Henry Davis. Number three is Jack Sawinski. He also has an element called dishonorable mention, and it's Cruz and Rowdy Tellez. Biggest surprises, Jones, Falter, Perez, Williams. And that would be Alika Williams. I would agree with Jared Jones. That's a revelation. Hopefully that continues. Bailey Falter took a lot of abuse early on, but he has been one of our more consistent pitchers. And, of course, when you're talking about Perez, who's been a free agent, he's a veteran. He knows how to play. David Bednar has been a disappointment, but I think things will turn for him. You better hope they do for Davis and Sawinski, because those are the guys who everything is, you know, predicated upon. They have to get that kind of success from those guys. Right now, Davis is struggling mightily at the plate. He needs to get better. Cruz, same thing. Swinging at pitches maybe he shouldn't. Taking ones he should try to unleash his swing on, because he can hit the ball a long distance. Jack Sawinski's hit or miss. When he hits it, he hits it big, and there's home runs to be had. But you got to do better. Their on-base percentage is not good. It has to get better moving forward here, because these are the kinds of things that, you know, put a heavy toll on pitchers. If you don't get a lot of offense, it's very difficult to pitch. If you get three or four runs early, especially in the game, there's some relief involved with some of these guys who can just rely on their pitches and not have to be so perfect or think they have to be perfect. And that is always going to be a problem with teams that don't score a lot of runs, no matter who it may be. 412-928-9370 is the number to call. As I said, this is the beginning of not just NHL playoffs, but also NBA playoffs. A lot of good ones. I'm going to give you a little my take on what I expect today. Cleveland, Orlando. Orlando will give Cleveland everything they can handle in this series. I like Cleveland as a team. They should win. I'm going to go Magic. I think the Magic are going to pull an upset in this one. Phoenix and Minnesota. Now, the Suns have a lot of high-end talent. You know, when you look at their team, beginning with Devin Booker and Durant, they brought in Bradley Beal. They have guys who should be able to do well in this kind of situation. But Minnesota, Anthony Edwards is a different kind of player, and they have Karl-Anthony Towns. They have a lot of people there that can make that a very interesting series. But I do think the expertise, the experience of Phoenix will come through for them. They're going to win this series, and that would also be an upset. Philadelphia and the New York Knicks. Philadelphia is playing with Joel Embiid. He has become a guy who can hit from the outside, do everything inside. He's MVP level when he's healthy. The Knicks do not have Julius Randle. He's one of their best players, but they do have Jalen Brunson. I'm going to go Knicks in this. I think the Knicks have a deep enough team. Tom Thibodeau knows what he's doing with that team. I like the Knicks in it. Lakers and Nuggets also play today. That's an 8:30 start time. This is a very intriguing series. Nuggets are heavy favorites. The Lakers, though, just like Phoenix, has some high-end talent on it, and you wonder what that would mean in a best of seven. They're playing well at the end of the season. James and, you know, guys like Anthony Davis. And don't underestimate Austin Reeves and what he's meant for this team. I think that's going to be a longer series, but I do expect Denver to survive in advance. But that's what you got to do in this time of the year. Win four out of seven, and you move on to the next round. All right, that's going to do it for us today. Again, I want to thank the people up here, Nick and the guys I've met from the Pine Richland Baseball and Softball Association, have made our stay here very nice despite all the wind. Got to give it out for Matt over here. He's brought in his tool time. This is not part of the job description. Tom and Matthew here trying to figure out, our tent blew over and now it's completely in shambles. He went home. Craig Riley, if you're listening, he deserves a bonus for this. He drove home, got a whole bunch of Craftsman tools, and now he's trying to figure out how to get this thing together and tear it down. I will be of no help whatsoever because I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to this kind of stuff. My wife will attest to that. She's the best handyman in our family, and I just refuse to do it. So, man, I can't help you. Good luck. I hope you figure it out. But, Craig Riley, take care of this man. Anyway, that's going to do it for us. Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at sunchevy.com. Today, windy. We will attest to that. High of 56. Our complete set has crashed because of it. Tonight, partly cloudy. Some couple of potential showers, depending on where you are, and there's a potential for frost as well in some areas. Low of 36. Tomorrow, sunny, just like today. Windy, high of 52 degrees. And a thank you once again to our sponsors at PNC Bank. Make today the day. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call on KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan. Ireland Contracting, make sure you check them out if you need a new roof. They will take care of you there as well. Number one Cochran, ride in style and go on better with Cochran.com. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, and Shenderovich and Fishu. Thank you, Fishman. Thank you all for your support of our program. We do appreciate that. And for all who called, thank you for getting through. We do it every Saturday. Coming up next is Andrew Filipponi, Danny Parkins with First and Pod. Our thanks to Matthew, Tom on site, as well as Nathan Haluschak Uri. And now it is Mr. Joel Nelson, who will be there the rest of the way. He'll have an update, and then you'll hear that from Pony and Parkins right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Have a great day.